Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Power Word Series, Shir number 35. It's important to have gratitude for hearing ways to improve. When you need to make a suggestion to someone that he needs to improve in some area, or she does, do so in a manner that will enable them to feel grateful to you for helping them. How do you do that? By sincerely conveying that attitude that you care about this person. You're trying to help this person. Where he or she who is receiving this information from you will realize that you have a genuine interest in their welfare. And thus they will feel gratitude for your efforts of helping them. This should be your focus when you try to correct somebody. And ask yourself, as you're talking, how could I speak to this person in a way that he or she will feel grateful for the opportunity to improve? When someone points out to you ways in which you can improve, be grateful for that opportunity that person is giving you. Let's say they broke all that with the rules about the proper way to suggest positive improvement to others. They spoke not nice to you, not refined language to you as they were showing that correction. So they have to work on themselves. But don't allow their lack of sensitivity or their lack of communication skills to hold you back from listening and becoming a better person. Hashem sometimes works it out this way, where it is difficult to accept things the way the person conveys it to you. But if you're able to get past that and recognize the value of what is being said, it will improve your overall, you know, capacity to accept something that sometimes is not easy to hear, and you'll be grateful for that person for pointing it out to you. Now, when you try to motivate others, don't use these guilt-induced tactics that often people use. People use this because they feel more natural to do that guilt-inducing tactic than positive reinforcement. But by throwing guilt on a person, you're creating a lot of anxiety for that person. So don't use guilt when you want to try to help another person. Don't say, if you don't do this for me, I'll suffer a lot or I'll blame you for it. Don't say you're only saying no because you're selfish or egocentric. Or you'll feel sorry when you see how ill I became because of your failure to help me. All of those things are guilt-inducing tactics that are to be avoided. Instead, you request favors from others in a way that will enable the person to feel positive about doing what you ask them to do. For example, if you need a favor and you really need it, the way you phrase it to that other person is that I know you are kind, and I know you are good-hearted, and I wouldn't ask anyone else for this favor, but I feel comfortable asking you. It's better to use this approach if it's truthful than using guilt. Sometimes you could strike a bargain. You basically say, you know, I need your help with something, and in exchange, you know, I'm willing to help you with something else. Again, this seems like a business deal. People don't want to avoid this because they feel that's not real friendship. But often you could use this and it's fine. This is also a level. If there's something that mutually benefits the both of you, utilize it to benefit the both of you. Now, if a person refuses to do you a favor, and you feel quite certain that regardless of what you say to him or her, they will not do it for you, don't use guilt-inducing remarks to make them feel worse. In other words, it's easy to say, oh, I'll get even with him or her for not helping me out. And I'll make sure that he or she does not enjoy whatever else he does or she does instead of helping me. I'll make them feel so guilty about their refusal that they will become so obsessed with guilt and will have a difficult time, you know, thinking about anything else enjoyable. So rise above that feeling of revenge, of the petty feelings of nekama. And only in some rare situations will guilt-inducing aspects may help. But that should be a rare exception, not the standard approach. The standard approach is that when you motivate others, use beneficial, healthy tactics. Beneficial, healthy ways of building the person up, not using guilt-inducing rhetoric. People who have physical defects or educational defects, they are a big target of other people of being attacked. Thank God most adults don't do these things unless they're sociopaths or narcissists or psychopaths. But most adults don't do that. They don't make fun of other people that are physically challenged or mentally challenged. They're suffering enough as it is. You make them the object of ridicule, it'll add to their agmas nefesh. What is included in this? People who may lack proper motor skills, as an example. People who lack eyesight, they don't see that well. Or they walk with a limp or any physical deformity. And anyone who has a learning disability of any type. And a child needs to be taught that even if other children laugh and make fun of someone with a handicap, they should never join in the laughter and never say anything that could hurt other people's feelings. This is a tremendous chinuch. By treating everyone with respect, and you're a child of that, you make sure that there is no hurting of a person's feelings due to any disability that they may have. And you always treat them with healthy respect. With healthy, healthy respect. Lysisna, make sure not to hate anybody. When you hate somebody, you'll want to cause them pain or suffering. And most people, Baruch Hashem, realize that you can't just physically harm another person. Although sometimes I'm shocked that people forget this too. But usually when you try to hurt somebody, they hate you more because that's not how people are supposed to act. But very often people cause pain by words, by casting slurs, verbal blows, subtle sarcasm, less subtle sarcasm. Someone once said that if you wanted to punish an enemy, you would wish upon him to constantly hate someone. Hatred destroys the person who hates. They become bitter, they become troubled. And when one lowers oneself, when one focuses his thoughts on hatred, they are actually bringing themselves down. And recognize how much you yourself suffer by withholding, by holding on to hatred, by holding on to your thoughts of hatred. And that will be motivate you to let go of this unhealthy hatred. Be aware that you dislike a person and work towards overcoming it. To teach yourself the power of forgiveness. When you dislike somebody, try to see their point of view, try to forgive them. When you truly understand someone, then you may still hurt by that person's behavior, but the hatred will go away. And work towards understanding that person, reframe them as best as you could. It's not an easy thing. But when one forgives someone that one dislikes, that's a very high elevated act. And if you're able to sincerely do that, you'll feel relief and joy by acting in this more elevated manner. Have compassion for a person who has done wrong. His lack of awareness caused them that. Hashem forgives those who forgives others. And don't commit einos devarim in the process. Don't insult anyone. It's better to avoid someone than to insult them. It's better to erase hatred from the heart and mind completely. Of course, that's ideal. But if you can't, then avoid until you're able to. Don't create more havoc. Don't wreak upon that person devastation with Einoaz Dvarim and Machlaikis and Rechilas and all of that. it's better to move away from that person until you're ready to deal with it and forgive that person or deal with improving the relationship with that person. So to summarize the points, to have gratitude for hearing ways to improve, when you improve others, also use gratitude and healthy ways to do that. Don't use guilt-inducing tactics, which we talked about in this year. Don't make fun of people. It's even cruel to do so, of other people's handicaps, whether physical or spiritual. And work towards removing hatred from your heart. And ask the reverse, that the heart should be renewed with a special love for Klal Yisrael. Bracha and Hatzlacha.